Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, friends. It's Monday night, and thanks so much for tuning in to Raising Expectations tonight. We count it a privilege and a joy to have you with us each week, and we thank you for the notes and the texts that you send and the words that you share from your heart. Really, really appreciate it very much, and we want you to know that. As you know, we're people of faith, and we believe in expectations being raised because the Bible teaches us that the Lord is always there with us. He walks the road with us in life, and we can look to him when we don't understand and grow and know he has control. And that makes a big difference in our life each and every day. Christmas season, fantastic time of the year. So tonight we're going to kind of look into the Christmas season a little bit. We've got a very special guest. He's one of the neatest guys you'll meet from Texas and our good friend. And I'm just going to introduce very quickly our staff for you, our team of co-hosts here, just the greatest people, and we do it each week because they're the greatest people. I want to make sure you know that I'm Pastor Joe, you all know me. So we have coming to us from Lompoc, California, you know Dr. Paul Hall. He's a pastor, he's a Bible teacher, he's a theologian, he's been my friend for over 50 years. That's impossible, we're both 39, but it works. Today's his birthday, so we're going to say happy birthday, Paul.
Thank you.
Let's all sing happy birthday to Paul, okay?
Here we go. Oh, no.
Let's pass on that. I'm 74 today, and as I've shared, I count my birthdays in Celsius now, so I'm 23.33333. So I feel good about that. You know, maybe I'll get it right this time.
See, friends, that's why he's here on this show, because he's been lifting my spirits all my life. He knows how to look at life. See what I mean? That's the way to do it. Don't be too. Well, happy birthday, man. We love
you.
We're so glad
you're here.
23.333. I got to remember that. That's good. Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, moving right along from the West Coast all the way to the East, Southeast Coast there in Georgia. We're so excited to have with us, as always, Steph Thayer and Dr. Craig Tank Thayer, two of our favorite people in the whole wide world, and they're there in Dalton, Georgia. Steph, as you know, and by the way, they're on our website. We're going to be talking to you about that. Steph is a health and wellness coach. No, she's the best health and wellness coach there is anywhere. You can check her out, what she does to help you. She knows everything there is, what to eat, how to exercise, how to take care of yourself, and her website. It's right there at bbsradio.com/raising expectations. Here it is right here, Wellness with Steph. And if you forget this, you'll find it forever right there. Write it down and make sure you've got this. She can do wonders. And there she is with her team. Is that a great team or what? She carries a staff of three guys that know they're all big guys. You know, in fact, if we go anywhere, can we take the whole team, Steph, to bring the team with us? That'd be great.
Sure. It's great. Like built-in security.
And no built-in security, Frank. Hear that? We're going to have a good one tonight. So anyway, with her also to her left and right there is her husband, Dr. Thayer, Dr. Craig, we call Tank Thayer, who's a surgeon. He's a author. He's a dad. He's a water polo coach. He's done so many things. Most of all, he's a great man of God. His book is just out called Saved. And it's just doing so well, finding God in the ordinary things of life. Well, it's exciting to find him working. That builds your faith when you see him working every day in those parts of your life that you wouldn't see otherwise. So you'll want to get a copy of that book. That's on his website there. You'll know it. And also it's on our website. Same thing. You can check with us anytime and get your copy. There's my book, Legitimate Faith, also. Legitimate faith produces authentic hope, not just hope. Hope can discourage you. Authentic hope assures you, makes a big difference in your life. So they're right there at bbsradio.com/raising expectations, and you'll find all that information and their pictures and their sites and everything. You hear more about that a little later on. But in the state of Texas, we also have our favorite pastor there, Ron Greer, who called late tonight. He got tied up in something he's endeavoring to accomplish today. He may be speaking or building something somewhere. He really got stuck, and he's going to miss us tonight. If he comes flying in, I wouldn't be surprised. It could be. Ron's just the greatest guy you'll meet, but he probably won't be here tonight. So, but we're going to go to Texas anyway, because there in Texas, as Ron knows, we're going to find our special guest for tonight, Frank Roberson, who, as you know, you've been following the write-up. Some of you asked me some questions. I'm going to let him answer them tonight. But we're excited to have him with us. He is a protection specialist, an executive protection agent, a counterintelligence threat specialist, and a private investigator. And he knows a lot of things. We wanted to pose a couple of questions to him tonight. Some of you may remember you've texted me on those. With all this happening in the Middle East and the world and everything from Europe all the way across, especially you look at New York, Chicago,
I'd like you to sit in
like this. Just about anywhere you can find these things. We're anticipating now. Should we be thinking about it? We're looking at Christmas shopping, Americans. Should we be thinking and planning ahead with our families? So we're going to be sharing that. He'll be sharing some good, great insight with you. So get your pads out and be ready to write them down, mom and dad, and think about your families. So as we look at this right now, we're going to, TJ, if you've got his picture, let's bring up his picture. We want you to see that this is Frank. You remember Frank Roberson right here, our guest tonight. And we've got a couple more to show you. This is as a specialist in what he does. There he is, kind of hiding out there. You can't see him, but he had the picture there. And there's another one that's a really good one. There he is. Now we're really seeing him on the scene. This is what he's asking you, who the heck are you? Who let you in here? You're so close. And then if you go a little further, this is for Stephanie. This is
that
breakfast
looks good.
Health food. Yes, Stephanie. Breakfast health food. I could let him explain that in a little while, but definitely looks like health food to me, Tank. I'm not going to score on this one, but it sure looks good. Amen. But it is fudge month. It's December. So, hey, Frank, we're so glad you're with us, and we're just excited to have you with us. So we want to give you a round of applause from left to right. Welcome to Raising Expectations.
Thank you.
And the applause heard around the world. That's good to have you with us.
Right. Thank you. Those are the best pictures you can get. That's awesome. Yeah. That hot chocolate, it was unbelievable. That thing is, it looks bigger in person. But anyway, thanks for having me. I appreciate you guys.
Oh, it's great to have you with us. Yeah. How's it going? You've been up in other places working. We see you've been on the job. And how's everything going?
Yeah, we did a trip to Oregon. Those are pictures from there. And it was pretty cool. It's cold. It was in the 30s. No snow, so nobody got to ski on the trip, which is good because if any of the family members go skiing, I'm going to have to figure out how to ski real fast. And, you know, unlike in the movies, I can't go just hop on skis and start going. But there was some hiking and stuff like that involved. And it started to snow the day that we were leaving. And luckily we got out in time because we would have been stuck there for about 3 days.
Wow. Well, yeah. Maybe Stephanie's going to have that first question because she, ladies okay. first. But just a thought we had, somebody was asking if we could kind of think about those things. The specialist, can you tell them again? And then Stephanie will be ready to roll. Tell them again kind of what it is that you do that, as you can say it, because I don't want to have to say North Dakota again this week or South Dakota. like last week, Tank. Go ahead.
So I protect and my team. We have a team of four now. Since the last time we've done this podcast, we've expanded the team that protect the family in Dallas. And as a company owner, I bring them on board. And now we got different family members that have their own dedicated individual. And then we have a counter surveillance guy that basically what he does, he follows around without anyone knowing and makes sure that we're not being followed and some of those other things, and keeps track of other family members when they're out And so last week it was pretty cool. It was the first time all four of us were working. Two of us, myself and Stephanie, were in Oregon, and Kevin and Michael were here in Dallas doing their thing. And it was pretty cool to have all of us working last week. It was pretty fun.
Oh, neat. Stephanie, if you've got a question, we're going to let you take it first.
Okay, so I was thinking about that skiing. I would be great to have for the skiing part, but probably not the security part. So what's the weirdest or maybe the most fun activity you needed to do because you were protecting someone else?
My favorite part is the advanced work. That's how I cut my teeth, or so to speak. And that was what my specialty was early on in my career when I first got started. So my favorite parts are the parts alone where I'm walking around the cities that we're visiting. My favorite was London. Got to do that. And then Windsor, where the Royal Ascot is. Mm. Get to go around and see all the sights and do everything before I'm on duty. It's not very exciting work, that part of it. Nobody really knows you do it. But that is my favorite part of all of it. I haven't had any weird, I mean, the horse races were always a little bit weird because I'm out in the barn with the horses. I'm in the paddock. I was at the horse farms. I learned a lot about horses. I had to learn their body language and things like that. So I guess that's probably the weirdest thing that you wouldn't think that an executive protection agent would have to learn. But when your boss is there next to an 1,800-pound animal that can they're so high strung at those horse races in the paddock, they can go crazy at any time they have before. And you got to know and kind of feel when that's going to happen. So that's probably the weirdest thing that I've had to learn in my career.
Mm.
It seems like your job is much harder right now with the turmoil that's going around in America and in the world for that matter. I mean, the riots, the, and I know you've mentioned before you travel somewhere, you're in contact with, you know, security info and those mm-hmm. things. Is that changing at all with all this?
Not really. We do the same thing. It's just the issue is now that the family is aware of things going on. So now they're asking questions that they normally wouldn't ask because we normally do that work. They know we do that work, but they usually don't get involved in asking about that work and all that kind of stuff. You know, there's synagogues near the family's house. There are certain things that have happened around the family's house since all this stuff has happened that they get alerts on. So they check to see if we've gotten alerts on, and I tell them that, yeah, we've checked those out, and we do alternate routes and tell them we do all the planning around all that. But that's the biggest difference is there's more of it in the news. So the family's asking those questions a little bit more because they're more aware of it.
Have you ever been in a situation, Frank, to where somebody sort of noticed that you were doing something a little differently? And anybody ever come up to you and question you? I'm curious about that.
It's funny. We went to took the family to a wedding on Saturday, and standing over by the bar in a suit and tie, you know, in the ready, you know, ready to go, standing post, so to speak. I did have a lady come over and ask me about the Bible that the wedding party signed. And I said, well, I don't work here. She goes, well, you look so official. And, the sheriff deputy that was there, you know, he came over and talked to me a little bit, and mm-hmm. we had some fun talking. Cause I asked any of these could ever get out of hand. And he said, yeah, sometimes. And all that kind of stuff. But, that sometimes it does happen,
okay.
But, it's usually in those types of situations. So like when we're walking around London or we're at North Park Mall or we're going to a restaurant, I'm sitting and eating with them. Unless you're watching out front, watching me pull up, drop them off, escort them in, gotcha. Coming in, you know, that kind of stuff. Unless you're really paying attention, you don't know I'm there.
Right. The reason I asked that, in one of the churches I pastored, we had two FBI agents, and one of them told, he did a lot of undercover work, and he said, if you ever see me, don't say hello to me. He said, if I say hello to you, that's fine, but don't say hello to me, because you never know what I'm working on. So I was really curious about how that impacts your life. You know, if people, I know you're good at what you do, and you know, those instances when somebody kind of recognizes or asks you those kind of questions, I was curious in your response, you know, so appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, that's scary. I had a good friend almost drowned in one of the water. She was a sheriff and he was working undercover, but it's like, I see him at Starbucks with his long curly hair, clearly in the drug world, you know, and I'm like, she's like, can I say hi to Dave? I don't think so. I mean, too clean cut to be hanging with him.
Yeah. Avoid.
Yeah.
Luckily, I've not run into anybody that I've known on a detail. Now, knock on wood, because I'll probably run into six of them this week, but I haven't had an incident where I'm actually working where somebody recognizes me or knows who I am yet. So that's pretty good so far.
Yeah. I would suspect that's kind of unique, actually. That you've gotten away with not having a, you know, regular person in your life recognize you.
Yeah. Good to be in a big city, huh, Steph? Good to be in a metropolitan area. Yeah, well, that helps.
Yeah. Most of the people I know and work with are in Arlington, which is a good 45 minutes away, the Chamber of Commerce there and that kind of thing. And most of them don't go up to Dallas. And the only ones that I've worked with in Dallas are vendors from the chamber that I brought into the family to fix the roof or fix the air conditioning or look at painting their house, that kind of thing. So that's a controlled atmosphere where I'm running into people in that sense. But I like not being recognized, though.
Yeah, I would too. I think that's a goal probably. So with the holidays, what are some things that you would recommend, you know, to the typical family or person traveling about and, you know, staring at their phone, walking and oblivious?
Yes, right.
Well, that's a good one, because that's the, everyone has that it's not going to happen to me mentality.
Mm-hmm.
But in the holiday season, when there's things going on overseas, people still think that, but the percentage of it not happening to them is changing every day that something like that is going on. I remember when we second trip to London, when I had the two daughters of the Wine family and the grandkids, I spoke with the State Department and also security director at the hotel that we stayed at. And they said one of the biggest things going on in that particular area of London were people on scooters grabbing cell phones of Americans that came in because their face was in their cell phone. They weren't paying attention, or they're wearing their side where the street was easy to get. And on a scooter, you're going to knock somebody down. But the phone is the biggest thing. I mean, I caught myself doing that before, walking in the mall or something, looking at my phone. My wife was shaking her head going, yeah, that's you all the time, she says. But situational awareness is probably the biggest thing, because this is where the bad people are going to come out. There's more people, easier to grab your purse and then disappear in a group of people, much less likely to get caught or be found by the time they've dumped it and cleaned it out. So there are some rules that I learned during my training to make sure people weren't following me when I was doing my work. And if you see somebody three times in a row in a mall, for instance, we'll use that as an example, come park near a mall here. If you see somebody twice, you may think, wait a minute, I've seen this guy twice now or this lady twice now. And then we're trained to go to a store that is completely out of character for me to go to. So like Victoria's Secrets. I wouldn't normally go in there. I'm getting dirty looks now. I'd go into a store that I normally would not go into. And if I see that person a third time, then the red flag is up. Then I have to start figuring out where I can take them to a choke point so I can find out who that person is, where it's a dead end. They might not know the facility that I know the way I know it. So I can take them to a point where it's going to dead end and see if they follow me down that area there. And then once I feel like I've gotten rid of them, then I just get out of there no matter what I'm doing, whether Christy and I are shopping or I'm following a family member or something. If that situation happens, I'm going to go look for law enforcement if I'm a part of the general public, because that person is targeting you. It's a third time that you've seen that person in different stores.
Yes. They've been doing a lot of that in the malls where they follow the people all the way out to their car. And then they'll stop them at an intersection or put them in the back of the car to the mall or something and take everything they've got plus the car.
Yes. So, that's why I have grocery store duty with the boss's wife, because the shopping center where the grocery store is, they've had four people followed home from that parking lot. They've had one person accosted by a person in the parking lot, and one person was shot when the people got to their home in their driveway after they've gotten their groceries. The other two were just beaten up and taken for everything. But I get a text when she's going to the grocery store, so I go and I show up at the grocery store. I walk around the store a couple times. And even then, you can do that yourself. You don't have to be a professional to do it. If you go to the grocery store, you go around twice. Somebody that's in there for bad things is going to stick out like a sore thumb. Mm-hmm. They don't have a shopping cart, don't have anything in their hands. They're just wandering around aimlessly up and down the aisles. If you see them multiple times, again, this is somebody that probably isn't there for good reasons. And if you can, go back and shop later or alert the manager to maybe see if they have some security in the store to keep an eye on them. I'm finding out that more and more facilities have discontinued having security. The hotel that we went to in Oregon, that's a pretty famous hotel, popular hotel, but the only security they had was the manager on duty, who wasn't trained to be security. He's trained to be a maintenance guy and manager hotel. There's not a lot of help anymore nowadays because people don't want to put out the expense and they cut back on employees. I don't know about everywhere else in the country, but there's a lot of places in Texas here that open at 11 and close earlier, so they can only have one shift. So they cut back security, they cut back their staffing. So our Hobby Lobbies had two nights in a row that Christy was there, and a good part of town has had somebody go in, grab something, and just run out the front door. And that's because there's no security. This is the time of year usually they beef up loss prevention, put some guys at the door, whatever, but they're not doing it still.
The hospitals, they teach you about active shooters, and so you know how to, and it's, you know, run, hide, barricade, and or fight, and the fight's going to be to the death, so you need to be prepared. And then what they don't teach you is simple things like, if you're ever cornered that way, grabbing an automatic, semi-automatic handgun by its slide, you may get shot once, but the next bullet won't load if you grab it correctly, or a revolver, it can't spin, right? So simple things like that if you're stuck, you know.
We're taught if we move around. So when there was an incident that happened a couple of weeks ago. I'm trying to walk to the car. Christy's going to drive, so I have a more controlled environment. So I apologize for moving around. But we're trained to kind of move back and forth because you can't focus on a target if you're moving back and forth. So sometimes I will stand, and we had a confrontation, I forget where it was, but 2 weeks ago. And the boss knew that I was getting to my limit with it because I started doing standing in place, but moving side to side. And we're trained that you can't focus on a moving target. So whether you're shooting or going to punch somebody, the moving target thing is hard to do. So it's important to keep moving around. Don't let them get you in a spot where you can't move. And one of the best rules, I think I've shared this one before on this show, is they do statistics of FBI every year on attacks and people who are attackers. And the rule is still 21 feet, 7 paces, basically, away from you.
And the reason why it's that far is because even if I am ready to pull a firearm or a knife or anything like that, that person has made a decision when they're going to come at you. It takes us about a second and a half to acknowledge that. And in that second and a half, they're already more than halfway to you. And then once you acknowledge it, then you have to pull your weapon or react to them coming to you. And by that time, they're already on you. So 21 feet has been the FBI standard on distance that you don't want to let anyone in that area and keep moving away and keeping that distance away from you.
Yeah, I've heard that. The other, there's an interesting book called On Combat, written by someone who's an expert in the field of, you know, lethal moral combat with guns or whatever. But he's interviewed a lot of people. He's been self-experienced. But the physiology, if your adrenaline not working out, so your heart rate's driven up by adrenaline, when you get into a red zone, which is about 185 heartbeats per minute or above, you get tunnel vision. So moving right or left, they can't see you anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, literally, like, you're not there. You vanish because your vision is just a small little dot. And so, it's an interesting book. I mean, it's a sad book. It's hard to read. Yeah. But,
well, we do the same thing in the hand-to-hand combat. When I put my hands in front of me like I'm saying, whoa, 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 back off. I don't mean any harm. But I keep those hands there because if they're planning on doing something, that tunnel vision kicks in. And my first reaction is the hand to the throat. Right. And then I go from there. But they can't see it coming if the hands are in position already. And now it's out of their vision because their tunnel vision, they're focused on you and what they're about to do to you. So it's a major advantage for you or a person that might be getting attacked. If you have those hands in a position below where they can't see, and then you're able to go up into the throat area and then run. It gives you a good 30 seconds, probably by the time they catch their breath, to actually respond to any of that.
Wow. Well, in looking at all this, could you address and maybe throw it around a little bit? Some of the people have asked, is there value, Stephanie, as a mom too, is there value to perhaps having a family meeting? What happens? Are there small guidelines you can help them with in a mall? What could be simple things they look for in a mall? Was there value in sitting down as a mom and a dad with your kids if they're teenagers? And, you know, you don't want to say something just to scare them at a certain age, but just to make them aware. Is there something you might share that moms and dads could share with their kids? I don't know, Steph, what do you think? Mom, there you go.
That for Stephanie, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, I was just agreeing and saying, yeah, I'm curious what Frank would say.
Okay. Yeah, okay, sorry.
I've had meetings with the two heads of the family and the two kids, and we've had the conversation. We have a code words that we say when it's time to go. Mm-hmm. I always keep an amount of cash in my pocket when I'm with them so that if the phrase is spoken by any of the people at the table, then I'm putting money down, cash down for the food or for whatever it is, and we're getting up and walking out. So the kids are also not able, and they don't. They've actually left their mother out in the cold. They don't let anybody in the house if they don't have the code word to get into the house, even if they know them. And they've been very, very good at that. Same thing at the mall. They're not going to get into the car with anyone. And if I have one of my guys, since the daughter wants to leave the mall early, my guy that's going to come get her, even though she knows him, he's going to have a code word that the daughter and I have come up with to say to her that no one else is going to know but Kevin or Stephanie on our team. So we discuss those things. If anyone is making them feel uncomfortable. They think they're being followed. They know to come over and talk to me and get close to me. And then if it gets to where they're afraid of whatever they're seeing, then they say their phrase. And no matter what we're doing, we all drop everything and head to the car.
Mm. Good. It's good.
I've seen a number of reels like on Instagram. When you go to search there, you'll see videos and you click on those. And sometimes they'll end up migrating to some, I think he's an ex-Marine that talks about EMPs. And have you been getting any questions about electromagnetic pulses and what we should do to even be prepared? I mean, this is, it seems like scare tactics.
It's funny because the family purchased EMP devices for all the cars. It's so recent that we haven't actually installed the one on my truck yet. But they have one on their home. They have one on their ranch home. They do not have one in their condo downtown Dallas, but they have one on all the cars that they have except for the newest one and mine. But we have them to be installed at any point. I carry a satellite phone. I carry a little – the Motorola just came out with a little thing. It's about this big that is a satellite emergency SOS thing where I can text. And I got get $49 a year unlimited plan to be able to text. Can't call anyone. It really doesn't give you a signal. You're able to text people. So there are things in place for that. We keep bottled water, distilled water. We do keep some of those things because the family is aware. At the condo, there's a train tracks that go through there that carry waste and fuels and all this kind of stuff. So before me, they actually went and got fitted for gas masks and have those at the condo downtown. So there are simple steps. I carry, the word just left my mouth. The liquid stuff you put in your mouth if there's radiation in the area.
Iodine.
Iodine, yeah. So I carry a little vial of iodine, enough for all of us if we're all in the car. So we are prepared for a lot of that stuff. They don't go nuts on it. We're not building bunkers or anything like that, but we're storing a bunch of extra food and doing that kind of stuff. But all the properties that they have are ready to go at any moment. So if something happens in Dallas, we can go to the ranch. If something happens out in East Texas and we're out there, we can come back here at the house in Dallas. We can go to downtown Dallas. There are different places that we have set up on a list that we can go if anything like that happens.
Yeah, another similar, but probably a more reality risk. I mean, I used to be walking through a mall or something, a piece of garbage on the ground, and I'd pick it up and throw it in the nearest trash can. But now with fentanyl and mm-hmm. then just inhaling it by some of the law enforcement, I haven't personally done this, but I think we need to, is just carrying around Narcan with us.
Yeah, so we added that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's easy to get nowadays. They just approved it, I guess. So we carry, I carry a box, and we have an emergency room in their Dallas house. And I have it in two of my backpacks, actually. So one backpack is my crossbody that I'll take when we like go to the fair or something like that, or we're planning on walking around for a little bit. But in the main backpack, there's Narcan as well. Mm.
And knowing the exits too, right? From all the kids, make sure they know where to meet up or if there are certain exits.
Well, yeah. People joke with me about the exits. I went to a chamber meeting one time where a new car dealership opened up a new service center, and the president of the chamber was standing there with the owner of the dealership, and he goes, "Hey, Joe, watch this. Hey, Frank, how many exits are there?" I had 13 stalls, 6 doors, 2 out to the back. I listed the whole thing out there, and everybody loved that. But it's important to know that. But when you have to, if you get separated or whatever, there is a
an extraction point where everybody tries to get to, whether they go two blocks away, hop in an Uber. The daughter of the family that I protect, there's there are instructions for her to go to a different location that she feels safe to call for me and meet me there. And there's an app that's on the phones that when she triggers it, it'll lead me directly to her exact location. But if you're a family in a restaurant, something's happening. If you get separated, you guys want to have a point. I mean, this is where it starts to get a little, sometimes will be seen as over a little bit too much. Is when you go into a restaurant with your family to go enjoy a dinner on a Friday night, the last thing you want to sit there and talk about is, hey, if somebody comes in with a gun, we're going to go meet over in the Walmart parking lot over to the, on the grocery side on aisle 6 and rendezvous in there. You don't want to think about all that stuff. But as a general sense, everyone's got phones nowadays. And if something happens, you want to know where an exit is that you can all get out. That's not the front door. And that's easy enough to look. If you guys talk to your kids and talk to the family members enough, any restaurant you walk into, it's where everybody comes in. So everybody naturally is going to go out that way. If something happens, you just have to find another one. That increases your success on getting away from the danger and making sure your family didn't get caught up in heading towards the door and running into more bad guys, you know, coming in or standing there waiting for everybody to go out to the front and do something as they're coming up front. Everybody else.
Can I push gears with you, Frank, just a little bit? This is all serious stuff. I remember, if I have it correct in my head, you draw cartoons, right? You have an online cartoon kind of thing. I'd like to hear, just kind of on the liar side, but what's the name of your cartoons and how do you see them and where do you get your inspiration for your cartoons?
Okay, that is a very serious question.
I know.
So I've drawn since I was a kid, and I went to art school. My great grandmother talked me into going to art school instead of TCU, Go Horned Frogs. And I switched from doing still life and portraits and stuff like that in college because in art school they taught you how to make money doing it. So that's why I shifted to cartoons. So the cartoons can be seen at furbabycartoons.com. Wifey just put her arm up and took credit for the name because that is her name. Wifey. CFFO, the Chief Floof. Chief Fufu Officer. As a big bad protection guy, saying Chief Fufu Officer. So it's very difficult for me. It can't be, you know, what happens on the podcast stays here, right?
Yes, it is.
The Bloodhound is the original store, and it the Fur Baby Cartoons goes to there as well. And the inspiration to that was a comic strip I started that started getting traction. I've tried a couple other comic strips, Pet and Plays. I tried one with where I did a comic strip in a pet magazine 12 times a year. I tried to do one that was more like a single guy trying to make it in the world, had a dog and called Ben there. But as soon as I put a dog in the comic strip that people related to, I put a bloodhound in there. The comic strip kind of went a different direction. I had just got a bloodhound at that point and started drawing her, and she was an amazing inspiration, and she stayed more lifelike. She didn't do crazy things and she didn't stand up on her paws and do stuff. Not until Molly came along that was so animated. People that saw the comic strip, it went into the papers in March of 2010. The largest paper it was in was Sacramento Bee, which was, I think, the sixth largest newspaper. People started
messaging me and calling me, hey, can I get a picture of your bloodhound on a t-shirt or whatever? So I didn't know what else to do. I mean, the comic strip, there's money in comic strips unless you got hundreds of papers. And I'm starting out, I got 20, 25. I'm trying to do more, but you don't get paid. You got to still work while you're trying to do that. So I started the store by creating the original Got Bloodhound shirt, which we sell in the shop. And what I did was I did a charity thing where I reached out to different bloodhound rescues and bloodhound groups to raise money for them to feed new dogs, to board them, to foster them. So I did the design. I put it up on a thing called Custom Ink and created a campaign where the shirts were $25. If we hit a certain amount, then we're in the black. And the charity and I, or the Bloodhound Group and I, split the profits. And that's how it got started. And then people wanted more custom stuff and different things and mugs and all this other stuff. So I eventually created the shop. And after a long day of...
Oh, there that's you cool. go. Put it up there.
After a long day of protecting somebody under a direct threat. This is when the shop went up. I was working for the guy that had a direct threat. After the stress of doing the motorcade stuff and handling the attack dogs and all that stuff, on the weekends, I'd come home and I would sit and draw cartoons. And that was my release, I guess. And it was making money. Yeah. So, so that's where that came from and how it got started. But the Bloodhounds, the two dogs were definitely huge inspirations, especially Molly. She's the one that gave the character more life and personality. You know, when Miley Cyrus came out with the Wrecking Ball song, I put Molly on a wrecking ball. And it was a very popular shirt. You can see it on the website there. And there's other ones. And then rabbits. And now we got rabbits, horses, I think 47 breeds of dogs. We do everything now, and 99% of it is custom work. But about this time of year, people go on there and buy pajamas with the bloodhound on it. And I started a tradition last year with the Christmas moose hound design. So I have a shirt I walk around in, big old tough guy walking around in a bloodhound with moose antlers and a Santa hat. Christmas moose
hound. I love it. Design. That's great.
They're really good.
We got pajamas with the Christmas moose hound on it. We got coasters. We got trees, all kinds of stuff with all that stuff on it. So that's kind of the long answer to that question. Yeah.
But if they go to that site, they can get some Christmas t-shirts or at least.
There's Christmas stuff on there. If you want it customized, put a name on it, something like that. I think it's $20 to do that. It takes a little bit of time. There's the Christmas section. Yeah. There we go.
Really fun.
There you go.
There's the flops. There's the moose hound. There she is. The moose hound. Look at it.
There's the moose.
Look at that. It's great.
So I couldn't get them done in time, but I have Christmas hockey jerseys, kind of like Christmas Vacation had the moose on the front of it.
Right.
Yes.
We're having the moose hound, Christmas moose hound, put on hockey jerseys. I just couldn't get them done in time to put them in the shop for this season. But next season, we're going to have hockey jerseys where you can have your name put on the back and have have a number of your choice, but have the moose hound, Christmas moose hound on the front.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So Bloodhound will always be a part of that shop, but we've branched out to our four little puppies that are in there too.
Yeah.
I like the longhorn one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I did that design when I first moved back here in 2018. That was when it was the Bloodhound Shop, Texas, right underneath it. Put the longhorn connector.
And what's the name of the little white dog that protects your home now that's to ferociously attack anybody?
Oh, that's Lily. Lily, we take her for a walk, and a guy drives by in a motorcycle. She jumps on her leash trying to go get that motorcycle.
That's right.
It's crazy. But she is
ankle sprinter.
Now, Christy tells this story better, but when I lost Molly, my 120-pound bloodhound, I was like, I want another bloodhound. I want another bloodhound. And then Maggie, who's in there, she's under the got rescued.
She's the chunky.
She's the little chunky one we call Moosapotamus.
Oh yeah.
In fact, I have a. I'm working on the. I want a Moosapotamus for Christmas instead of the.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah.
She's actually dancing in a tutu like in Fantasia with a Santa hat on. That one hasn't been released. I put the sketch up last year and I haven't had time to finish it up, but that's where she's going to be. But she came into our life on Black Friday 5 years ago, right?
2019,
after about 6 months after Molly had passed. And I told Christy, I want a big dog. I don't want to be one of those guys that walks around with a little white fluffy dog, going places, carrying it around, sitting in my car with a little white fluffy dog. And there I was going to Lowe's the other day and carrying Lily. She's in her little pink, I'm changing that. I just ordered her a tactical harness that says protection dog. She's all of 11 pounds, but she's going to have her tactical harness on.
She got scared and daddy
got scared when we walked in there and I put her down and I had to carry her around. And then a big guy that used to play football, he had a Cowboys outfit on and a Santa hat. He comes over and says, you know, my best friend had a little white fluffy dog like that after his Great Dane passed away. And he swore he would never have a little white dog. I said, let me tell you something. Let me tell you a story. So the two of us are standing there talking about, we don't want little dogs. We want big dogs. And we all have little white dogs. So yeah, Lily's the attack dog.
Those are great dogs. Yeah. They're so personal.
Pound for pound, she's the first stuff.
That's it, Tank. Pound for pound, watch out. Hey, we may be going to a joint situation with you later and have you use your famous one and do a raising expectation with the dog with a cap on or something for us. That'd be fun, wouldn't it? We'd all have the same coffee.
Cool, yeah.
A lot of our people would like that. You design it the way you want. That'd be fun. Well, Frank, thanks for coming. I know I bet you got to get back, and we should appreciate you and your driver too, Chrissy. Good to have you. Good to see.
Thanks
you.
Thanks for sharing it.
There's Chrissy. All right.
You know, everybody drives this vehicle. This is amazing.
Yes, only the distraction of being on a podcast allows her to drive my vehicle.
Loving it.
Well, hey, God bless you both. Thanks so much, and. You're really you're a special guy, and we appreciate your talents and your gifts. We appreciate your heart, and we pray for you, and we'll always pray for you, for your safety, for all you do, for how you help so many people, and we just look forward to talking to you again soon. And Chrissy, thanks so much. Every time I go down a grocery store aisle now, I think about Frank explaining how to do that now for you, and we all think about that now, so we're learning a lot of good stuff. Thanks a lot for helping him out on that one. Okay.
Thank you, guys.
All right. God bless. Thank we'll you. See you later. We'll let you run. I know you probably have to get going. So we're going to
thank we're gonna you so much, guys.
Do a commercial for
Frank.
Thanks,
Frank.
See you soon. God
good
bless.
To see you. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, guys.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate you guys.
We'll be on your page. I want to get one of those mugs, one of those t-shirts. Right. We'll see you later.
Thanks.
Hey, Steph, maybe you could do a quick word for us for Christmas.
Sure. Sure. It is Christmas time. It's end of year. Don't forget about your giving. You know, we're working on our taxes and the budget and where we can give and all of that. So you're probably doing something similar. We always appreciate your generosity, your commitment to sharing the show with other people, for giving generously. You can go to the website and find out everything there is to find out about us, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. The donation information is up at the top. I always suggest, you know, even if it's foregoing a coffee or a meal, it all adds up. And when everyone, it's kind of like that crowdfunding, when everybody does a little bit, it adds up to a lot. And you can scroll down, you can find out about each co-host, you can listen to past shows. You can log into the live ones. You can learn about Craig's book, about Joe's book. And I saw today, I'm a Apple user. I saw that we are on the, I don't know, the Apple link thing. Yeah, I was like, look at us. I mean, we just keep getting on more and more platforms. If you're looking for us, you're going to find us. So if everything else fails, you can just look for Raising Expectations and you're going to find us. So that's pretty exciting because we have an amazing team that does awesome things and gets us out everywhere we need to be.
We do. This, you guys are terrific, just wonderful. We've got a great setup coming. I've got Dr. Duncan coming back for us that you all liked from Dallas. I've got John Brooks coming back with his son, speaking about resolutions with your sons. Can't wait for that because you're going to have a lot to share, you two, with him. It's going to be a great show. And we've got the founder of Wycliffe Bible Translations and the way they ship their books out to everybody. She's going to be with us, Grace Townsend-Gorth, and just some great things. Of course, Denise Gary Panhole will be back with us running for the Senate seat vacated by Dianne Feinstein. All these things are coming up in January, and we also have one of the main missionaries for them that's going to one of my students from years ago, and he and his wife are going to be sharing what they do all over Africa and the world with JARS, which is the stands for something. I forget. It's not a jar. It's a plane, I think. But it's part of Wycliffe, and I'll let them explain. You're going to like them a lot. They traveled in sunshine with us. Boy, is that getting me old. He said, of course you're old, Pastor. He said, I'm 65. And I said, you can't be. He is 66 already. You wouldn't know it, though. He's a great guy. I worked as a youth pastor for his dad, Bob Rich, a pastor. So in any event, we're going to have some great days coming up. And Christmas around the corner, that'll be coming up. Next week, we've got the men's ministry group coming again to share how to do Christmas for your wife. This ought to be pretty interesting. How's that, Steph? We're trying to keep this thing going in the right direction. So he'll be back with us. And this time he won't be on a lake fishing in Minnesota. He didn't know. And I said, Doc, we're not going to get you that far. We may be all over, but that's not going to work. But he's excited. He's such a great guy. And he'll be back with us this next week. And we'll also have the our friends, the Syntrons, be back with us pretty soon. And got some others. They're all coming. I'll be putting one of my fancy schmancy, Stephanie must look at them and chuckle, but I'm going to put up another thing to let you know who's coming pretty soon and what's coming down the pike. Don't forget to check into Steph's line each week because she puts some really, really wonderful things. Stephanie, those are great blessings to a lot of people. My daughter and other ladies I know, they check into those also. And thank you. Same thing with you when you have a word up there. Paul and I, we just really appreciate and love you both. Right, Paul? And today's his birthday, and I'm looking at the clock, and it is 6:53, so we are ready. You guys ready? We got to do this. Here we go. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Happy birthday to you.
Cha-cha-cha.
Happy birthday to you.
Cha-cha-cha.
Happy birthday, dear Paul. Ta-da!
So
happy birthday to you.
It doesn't get better than that. No, I mean, that was spectacular. I say we take it on the road. We take it on the road.
you can turn off our mics and turn up Joe's mic.
Oh, no. You guys were just terrific. We'll get Ron back in there with us, and we'll make a next CD out of it. CD, yeah. Boys. We'll make the next whatever they call them. Anyway, it's 6:54. We still got a minute. So you guys all ready for Christmas? Starting right. Yeah,
not at all this year. I'm way behind.
Oh, that's okay. You'll make it, Stephanie. You're so organized. You'll get it going, huh, Tank? That'll be great. You'll get it going. And the boys, congratulations on his graduation. You look so good in that picture, all of you together. That's a wall framer. That came out really good. Really appreciate it. I think I checked it, but it was just awesome. And Paul, this, we know right now, 6:55, we got to go, but we get to have fudge this month at least once. I'm going to text
Tank. I'm excited. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. God bless you and keep you. Ron, I hope you're good, brother. We missed you. And we'll be back next week, ready to go. All right. God bless and keep you. Thanks.
Thanks for sharing your birthday with us, Paul.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks. Thank you for the song. It was great.
Right. We try.
Thanks, TJ. God bless you, buddy. He's our engineer. He's the best anywhere in the world, guys. He's awesome. We'll see if we can get his picture up for you before Christmas. Maybe you'll do that for a Christmas present. Just smile for us one time.
Yeah. That'd be good. Maybe. He says maybe.
Oh, he's a note to me.
He's silent.
Yeah. Oh, well. Okay. Well, sorry, TJ. We'll look forward to it anyway. We're still on, I think so. Maybe my clock doesn't work. So if you guys want, that's working out real good.
I've determined to watch a list of Christmas movies this year. Last night it was National Lampoon's Christmas. That was boy, such fun in that. That was so fun. Yeah. And yeah, Frank cracked me up when he said, oh, you're going to get hockey shirts, because that's what Griswold was wearing, you know, at the end. It was really funny. But yeah. I just love those. Yeah, great, so great good. Movie. Yeah.
That's the one where the Steph cat
one time posted the whole rant that he goes through and was the boss there. Holy whatever, give me the town hall. She put that on a post and people thought she was really upset. This is from Griswold's Christmas. This is Christmas vacation.
Yeah.
Christmas vacation. Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. So and another one, I hope not to get a BB gun because I'll shoot my eye out. So, you know, I've got to.
It's a classic.
I'll wear that shirt next week.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Please do.
Ugly sweater show.
I will.
Okay.
Don't forget, It's a Wonderful Life. That's just a good
one. That's right. Yeah, Jimmy Stewart.
Well, okay, Joe, you can close us out. TJ's ready for us.
Oh, we're done. TJ, you all set? Yeah, we're good. Thanks, TJ. God bless you.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.